Well, many of you have been following the Heart of Detroit pieces that I've been doing for Channel 4, trying to focus on people who are giving and helping out here in the community who don't get any attention called to them. I'm not talking about athletes or rock stars who go in periodically and do an appearance or get a lot of attention with TV cameras, which is all fine, but there are people who slug it out every single day in the city just trying to help others. They don't get any of that kind of attention. And there's a special report on Channel 4 today about a woman named Maud Beatty. They call her Mother Maud Beatty. She is well known in certain parts of the city, maybe not the parts you travel, but parts where people are desperate for food or for shelter. And she had an incredible story, so much so that I wanted to share with you a much longer version than what you will see on Channel 4, which is just a minute and a half. This was a conversation that I had with this incredible woman who's 82 years old. She's on dialysis 3 days a week now, and yet she is still devoted to a soup kitchen that she opened 40 years ago because she heard a divine voice tell her that she needed to do it. No experience, no background in it, no anything, and yet she devoted herself to this cause. And now, because of budget cuts and everything that's going on with the state of Michigan, she is threatened to be closing down unless people help. You can go to theheartofdetroit.org to make a donation if, after hearing this, you want to try to help keep this soup kitchen open. Theheartofdetroit.org. You can always go to our website at MitchAlbum.com. I think you'll find it a very, very moving story. Listen. Mother, tell me how this building and this idea began.
Well, I was walking down the street about a half a block adjacent to this building. And a voice spoke through here and said to me, go and inquire about that building. When I got there and talked to Mr. Stevenson, I said, Mr. Stevenson, could you tell me a ballpoint figure what you would sell that building for? He said, well, I wouldn't sell it under $27,000 or $28,000. I said, well, the voice spoke to me and told me to tell you $19,500 and no more. He said, all right, lady, said $19,500. I said, well, I really got something to tell you now. I don't have a job. And when I told Mr. Stevenson I didn't have a job, Mr. Stevenson said, well, we can go to the bank. And I didn't know nothing about how you could draw up a contract or something to get a building, okay? Me and him left and went to the bank, and we drawed up the papers.
And you didn't have a job at the
time. I didn't have a job.
And you were drawing up papers in a bank.
And didn't have a penny to give it.
This voice just came to you while you were walking down the street.
Yes.
Who was the
voice? Just like the sun shined today, this is the way the sun was shining that day.
And what did the voice, where did it come from? Who was it?
I know it was the Lord.
Had you even set foot inside the building before you decided you were going to buy it?
No. And know what? When I saw the building outside, the building was beautiful, brand new. When we come inside, the building was where people had been fixing cars. So you know how a
dirty
place looked. Dirty.
Greasy.
And picking apart, yes. And even to one of my sisters said to me, she said, no, you don't want to get this building. She said, it's too much of work, so you can find someplace else that's much more clean. I said, but the voice said, this building.
Now, had the voice or the Lord ever come to you before and told you to do anything else?
Yes.
What?
When I was 17 and a half, that's the first time I heard the voice of the Lord. When I was 17 and a half, I was reading the Bible, and I was getting confused, and I got angry. And I didn't have no better sense. I got angry with the Lord because I was reading the book of Revelation. And I said, ain't no way I can live like this unless you live through me, you know. And one night I went to bed. And when I went to bed, the Spirit of the Lord come right through here. I was 17 and a half and said to me, you begin at Genesis and you read through Revelation. Hallelujah. When he said that, I could understand the Bible just like the fingers on my hand. I know no study from nowhere else, but I could understand what the Bible was saying, and I no more was confused about the Bible. Three years, I was in this place, I didn't know what it was going to be. The Lord hadn't told me that. I'd never been in a soup kitchen in my life. I knew nothing about no soup kitchen.
Do you remember what you served that first day when there were 50 people?
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I know one thing. We've served, every meal we've ever served here was a good meal. Was a full meal. It wasn't soup.
No soup in the soup kitchen.
No, not often. And well, I don't really like soup. So, it's not often that we serve soup.
Did you make the food yourself? Was that part of your job?
I wake my fingers to the bone.
Are the clientele that come here the same people all the time?
I don't think so. A lot of them are the same people, but a lot of them is new folks.
Mm-hmm. And you're open to anybody?
Yes, sir.
Anybody, everybody?
Yes, sir.
If you're hungry, you can come in and get a meal?
Yes, sir.
And a place to sit down?
Yes.
Have you made friends with a lot of the people over the years who were here?
Oh, people have been nice to me. And they say to me, you know, some of them will say, like I'm a blessing. And I said to him, well, the Lord did it. And he just used me just so you can see me.
Now, you grew up in Mississippi.
I was about 13 when I come from Mississippi.
To Detroit?
Yes.
And did your mother or father bring you here? And did they work here in Detroit?
Yes.
What did they do?
My father worked in the factory. My mother was home.
And do you have brothers and sisters?
Yes.
How many?
It's 12 of us all together.
12 of you. So all 12 of you came up from Mississippi?
Two died before we got here. 10 of us came up.
10 of you came up from Mississippi.
Yes.
And where did you live when you first got here?
Well, our first house was on Hendricks.
On Hendricks.
On the east side.
And your dad worked in a factory. And when you were younger and then growing up a teenager, do you have any idea that you wanted to do something with your life? And what was it? What did you want to be? You know, if you had a profession or
anything. Well, I was an odd one in the family, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Like when rain come, my sister and brother would be in the house, and I would be out on the tree, boots on, and my father's raincoat sitting on the tree. And it used to run a real heavy, why is it raining, and why do the little old raindrops come down from the sky like that, and you can't see their socket? I wondered things like that, okay? Mm-hmm. And I could never really get an answer.
What do you think about the idea that they're trying to cut funding off to places like this?
I don't have a penny to keep this place open. Hey! But I believe the Lord gonna keep it open, because he opened it for me. And I have done everything he told me to do since I had this place. I fed the people like he told me. I've clothed them like he told me.
What do you say to the governor and other politicians who think that it's okay to just cut the funding to places like this?
I said to the governor, be careful. You might have today, but you don't have God. Be careful. They close the door on poor people because they bleed just like he bleed. They love just like he loved. So I said to him, be careful, because the book says the poor you always have with you. And these people just want to live. They don't have to give them big cars and big fine houses. They just want to live.
Mm-hmm. Is there a favorite moment that you have on the days where the meals are fed? I don't know if it would be when you're making the food or when you put it down in front of somebody or you watch them eat or anything like that.
When the people come in to eat, we'll make sure the people get a kind of smile.
What do you think about all the poverty, the poorness that's here in the city of Detroit? Why can't we seem to get out of it?
You can get out of it if you look up. If you look crossways or you look down, you ain't gonna get out. But if you look up, you can get out.
Are you worried now about not having money to keep this place going?
Yeah, well, we on our last week. They told me we close, if we don't get nothing from nowhere, coming to a close. Our refrigerator's about empty. And by the time Friday come, that'll be we will close out with our meals.
How much money do you need to stay open?
Well, they carry this thing by the week, you need about $1,000.
Each week?
Yes, mm-hmm. At least. That's between $1,000 and $2,000, okay? Each week, to carry this on.
And you had been getting that money from the government?
Yes.
And now it's stopping?
Yes.
Well, we'll see if we can maybe find some new sources for you.
God bless you if you do. Because he started this work. I didn't.
Again, if you would like to help Mother Beatty keep the United Sisters of Charity soup kitchen open, which is what she runs there in Highland Park, a place that feeds people, 50 people, for lunch. It's the alternative to many people going hungry all day long. It does not cost a lot of money, maybe $1,000 or $1,500 a week for the whole program. If there's any way you want to make a contribution to it, you can go to theheartofdetroit.org, theheartofdetroit.org, which is a website for all these pieces that we're doing for Channel 4 and to try to bring attention to people like Mother Beatty, who you could tell from that interview is a pretty unique individual and the kind of person here in Detroit that we need to try to help out. So I hope people will take this to heart and make a contribution. Whatever it is, any little bit could certainly help in the case of keeping her soup kitchen open.